because he has a hyperbaric chambers.
Mm-hmm.
And I started to send the top professional athletes and NFL players I've worked with. And I knew that they need to get more oxygen for a better recovery. Not those sleepy bags that, you know, cost $25,000, cost athletes so much money. If you're listening and you bought one of them, fool. You're a fool. And I'm sorry, sell it, get your money back, because it doesn't work. Like a freaking placebo.
True.
Man, seriously.
You know what? There's so much garbage out there.
Absolutely. It just makes me angry.
No, it's good. No, it's 100% right. Because it's one of those things where there's so much garbage in the market, and then people say, oh, it doesn't work. You know?
No, the real one works. You have to bring the pressure so much higher that the sleeping bag can go in. So even, you know, a few athletes that I work with, like perfect example was, you know, Ray Lewis. He got one of those. And when we started to work, I'm like, what is this?
Yeah.
And he goes, well, isn't that what I'm supposed to use? I'm like, no. And it was, he's supposed to just make that, you know, purchase. I'm like, no, don't let it happen. Save your $25,000.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to do the right thing, go and dive into the real medical one, because that is the power.
Yep. What's up, everyone? Welcome to the Sales Culture Show. I'm your host, Joe Lemon. We are a podcasting agency that helps B2B brands set great sales meetings. And that short clip was with Barbara Depta. Now, this is a recall episode from the Real Value Exchange podcast, one of my first podcasts that I rolled out. She was in episode number 45, and I'm in Indianapolis this week for the NFL Combine week, just here for some heavy networking, just excited to get back into it. I didn't get back last year, but I was here 2 years ago, and it's just tons of energy. And I first linked up with Barbara when I was at the NBA TA event out of Chicago during the NBA's Combine Week, basically. And I was just blown away by her passion, man. I mean, she's just one of those high-energy people, as you could probably tell from the quick clip. So I was like, you know what? This whole episode didn't get the proper traction that I wanted when I was first getting out. I was trying to learn the whole podcast distribution process. I feel like I got a better handle on it now. Not perfected, it's just better. And so I was like, man, people need to hear this conversation, because Barbara is a high performance coach by trade. She's a fascia and fitness expert, structural balance coach as well. And she works with some elite level clients. Just to try to name drop a little bit. People like Ray Lewis, Anquan Boldin, Mark Ingram, a couple NFL teams. And she's transitioned now to launch her own company, her own supplement line that she really gives a damn about. It's not just, she's not picking up products from overseas that are from questionable sources. She's going to the source, making sure that each ingredient is what it says it is, and actually doing research around it to make sure that you get the right outcome. So big, big, big into what she's up to. And I really think it's important for us to really just know the founders and the CEOs of the companies that we support, right? I mean, because business is totally moving away, and I think people are moving away from just doing business with logos, and they're trying to really connect with people to people. At least that's what I'm up to, let me say that. And so I think it's super important that we kind of just spend that time to kind of get to know the people behind the brand, because a lot of times they might not have your best interests at heart. 9 times out of 10, they don't have your best interests at heart. And so, you know, it's good to really try to support and get behind businesses that are trying to do what's best for you. And so we talk a little bit about a whole gang of things. So we get into that whole mind to gut connection, because she has a supplement company. We also talk about how emotional and mental trauma can transfer into physical injuries. And then we even talk some trash about some medical products out on the market, and even dive into a little bit of politics. Not too much, but just a taste of it. So sit back, enjoy this conversation with Barbara Depta. Yeah, and don't forget to rate and subscribe it. Leave me some stars, leave me some comments, wherever you consume this podcast. It really helps me get the word out. It helps out with the distribution process. And feel free to give me some feedback too. I'd love to know how you felt about this conversation and some of her ideas about the industry. You can hit me up at Joe Alex Lemon on any of your social media platforms.
Struggling to connect with buyers in an overcrowded, noisy sales landscape? Today's buyers want more than a spray and pray email blast. Launch a podcast and collaborate on content with people that matter most in your industry. Learn more at salesculture.work.
What's up, everyone? I'm Joe Lemon, and thank you so much for tuning in to The Real Value Exchange. Man, so I've been sitting on this podcast now for a couple months, and there was a reason for it, too. I wanted to get through my actual marathon first, and I wanted to test her actual product before I really started to just kind of press heavy into it. Now, you've definitely heard about it on several other episodes. It's called Resync Your Core, and I have the owner and the founder and the creator of that product, Barbara Depta, on this episode. And honestly, I didn't want to put this out until I got through a full recovery with it. And so one of the coolest things about this product is that, for one, it's all natural. It's pretty much like a food supplement, but it's great for recovery. And Barbara Depta has a really interesting background. She's a high performance coach, fascia fitness expert, overall one of those people that are just high impact. And one of the beauties about what she does is not that she understands your body and how to structurally put it together. She also combines it with the proper food supplements as well as the proper mindset to help you get there. She's worked with some elite people too. So this is like a no joke type of thing. I mean, honestly, some of her clients are people like Ray Lewis, Anquan Boldin, Mark Ingram, just some heavy hitters there. You guys probably recognize a couple of those names in the pros. But man, I really enjoyed this whole conversation. And I first linked up with Barbara through my colleague. We were at the NBATA Combine out of Chicago. And my colleague, Tracy, what's going on, Tracy? She's like, look, let's get, you know, a quick 30-minute meeting in with Barbara. And let's see if there's some, you know, type of synergies that both of our businesses could possibly benefit from. And I said, sure, I'll join. And I just got them from working out. And so, you know, quick 30 minutes, I got time for that. And honestly, once we sat down, I mean, it was two and a half hour conversation, ran into our very next meeting because we were just vibing so much. So I'm sure you guys will enjoy this conversation with the CEO of Resync Your Core with Barbara Depta. Enjoy. Funnies, like, people ask me all the time where I'm from, and I say Pittsburgh, even though I haven't been there in 10 years. Where are you from? Because I'm thinking, where did I grow up? Where did my roots start? Where did I shape most of my character? Pittsburgh work ethic is kind of the thing that kind of runs through my veins, and that's how I think about it. But how you think about Poland, I think, is very similar, right?
It's very similar. Yeah. So when people ask where I'm from, yeah, if I give them an answer from Florida, they're like, no, but where are you really from?
Is it kind of offensive whenever people ask you that, whenever they say?
You know, yeah, super good question.
Yeah.
Because it depends how you look at it.
Yeah.
And as I'm walking, you know, from my hotel to here, I was literally contemplating about when people ask that question and you give them an answer and it seems like it's not good enough.
Right.
They were not ready for that. Yeah. Like, you're lying. That's not it.
Yeah.
And I said, no, I actually live in Florida. Are you asking me where I was born?
Yeah.
That's a different story. And it's the same when people would ask where I'm from and I say I'm from Poland. But before I answer, they say, oh, you're Russian.
Mm.
Back in the day, I would have a wrong relationship with that response.
Hmm.
It literally would almost, I would feel offended. And then I ask myself, why do I feel offended? Is it just my relationship with Russia and my relationship with the attitude of people and their balance of the country and the nationality and how they treat people and the economics and the politics?
Sure.
And you know what? I stopped actually having that attitude. I literally started to say, do you know what? People don't know any better. And even if they say Russia, just because of our accent, just because of our features, and unless you traveled to Eastern Europe,
yeah,
you just don't know. So it's okay not to know. And it's my almost, you know, kind responsibility to say to people, no, do you know what? But close enough. I'm from Poland. We're neighbors.
Yeah.
I absolutely understand why you wouldn't know unless you've been there and you spent several years, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's the attitude that I have with that answer not the question in itself.
You know what's so interesting? So I was one of those people because I had no clue about how Europe was really set up until I went there last year for some work, and we were out there for about a week and a half. And even just understanding that whole dynamics between Eastern Germany and Western Germany.
Huge.
I mean, it's still, I mean, we forget how close that was. I mean, it's a generation away, right? I mean, maybe two generations out now, right?
Yeah.
And people were involved in everything that was going on. And so, you know, we tend to kind of be in our bubbles.
Yes.
Especially here in the States. We get in our bubbles really well. And then we forget that there's other activities going on around the country.
Mm-hmm.
And we isolate ourselves and we forget that, oh man, this is only 25 years ago, 50 years ago, 100 years ago. 100 years sounds like a lot, but that's that could be one person's lifespan, right?
Absolutely.
And so that's really interesting.
And you know what? When you think about that, it's not that we are in our own bubble because we want to be.
Sure.
It's what is available to us on a daily basis
on
the news.
Yeah.
You know, how we portray the image of Americans,
mm-hmm.
it's not you, it's not me on TV, it's the people that represented this country.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy.
So let's think about that, because, you know, the same like I just said, people say we don't like Russian. Do we not like Russian or we don't like Putin?
Right.
He is the head of the country, right? The same is here. Are we really living in the bubble?
Yeah.
Or do you know some people that are visible, that represent this country, that are on the daily basis on the news, that they might be in the bubble? And they speak about, you know, the society here, what's happening in D.C., what happens in the different cities. You know, the difference is also when you go to Europe, you will turn on any news, and what it starts with international news.
Wow.
It's not BBC,
right.
But it's your national news that they start with international news.
Hmm.
Here is the other way around.
Oh, everything local and then maybe a slight little bit.
Tiny bit,
yeah.
Right, of something happening in China or our president did something here and there, connected or
mm-hmm.
said something magical on Twitter. so it's the, as in anything in life, it comes from the head.
Yeah.
Right?
It does.
And we can't really blame the society.
Yeah.
Because you would be surprised how sometimes I have amazingly connected and amazingly deep conversations with people that I would never think that they know
mm-hmm.
about history of Eastern Europe.
Mm-hmm.
That they know who was, you know, the president in the 80s,
mm-hmm.
who really took us from communism.
Right.
From socialistic country into, you know, democratic. Like, so it's surprising. There are some people, and many of them in the United States, who care, who are more interested.
Oh, yeah.
But bottom line, as you said, the top of the top have their own bubbles, and they live in them.
100%.
It's comfortable.
You know, it's a perfect segue, because that's why I even got into doing podcasting. Because I was like, I'm tired of just letting everybody else dictate all these stories that are being told. And I was like, I'm going to put my own stamp on it. I mean, I feel like I'm not a horrible person. I know some people that aren't that horrible, right?
Sure.
So let's just have a conversation with them, and then we can have our own platform to kind of go about doing whatever we're up to. And, you know, that's really cool, because that's one of the reasons I was like, oh, we got to link up. I got to get you on the podcast, because so to kind of give the backstory for everybody.
Well, first of all, thank you for having me.
No. And just for everybody listening, we are speaking with Barbara Depta, and so we first linked up at the NBA Combine Week through a colleague, Tracy. Thanks, Tracy.
Hello.
Right. And, you know, it was one of those things where I was getting done with the workout. Tracy was like, hey, you should come meet somebody. I think it's going to be pretty interesting for our business. I was like, oh, who is it? You know, how are they held? What's the angles? And she's like, I'm not sure. We should just go talk. And I'm like, as long as you don't mind talking to me sweaty, I'll come. And she's like, if they're okay with that, let's go. And she's like, oh, it's fine. You know, I think it's going to be pretty relaxed. So we get there. And I was blown away. Honestly blown away by not just, you know, your business that like you had invested so much effort and time into, and the research, and just really trying to debunk a lot of these other food companies and supplement companies that are doing things kind of, I got a lot of opinions about that. But I love that piece of it, but I love your passion for it as well. And you have a Rolodex that goes through the roof of people that you have helped do this with. So it was like, okay, great business, like that, check, passionate, and got some proof behind what she's up to. I was like, all right, I want to figure out how I can support, how I can help. And, you know, not that I have a huge, massive push, but anything that we can do to kind of help you, I definitely wanted to dive into it. So welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it. On that note, you do have a push. Do you know what? That's exactly the beauty of all of us individuals.
Yeah.
That's how, you know, systems are built. That's how great companies are built. Mm-hmm. That's how the little people that have such a huge power and passion in them are starting to be visible. Mm-hmm. Yes, we don't have an access to, do you know what, like we were just saying, BBC, NBC, CCN, all of those, you know, great visible channels, but you created your own. And for that, I really give you a huge, huge respect.
I appreciate that.
It takes time. It takes dedication to start something on your own and believe in yourself. And if you don't believe in yourself first, who else is going to believe in you?
Dude, well, I mean, you're doing the same thing, though.
Indeed.
You are carving out your own place in the world, and you have your own, and you got some really good products that you already have out. And just chopping it up a little bit last night while we were talking, I mean, just things that you're working on down the line seem to be really encouraging. But I want to tap back into a little bit of your history first. So let's talk about a little bit. Well, we always talk about where you're from. You're from Poland originally.
Yes.
But you're also an athlete. So let's kind of dive into that aspect of life.
Yeah. So it's pretty amazing how, you know, the life journey took me even to United States. Here I am coming from a tiny town in Poland, right? South, close to Czech Republic. Gymnast. My father was a gymnast. He got way higher in the sport than I did.
Wow.
And it's just because exactly of the injury that I had. So I had a broken elbow. Mm. Nonetheless, it wasn't an open, fracture. It should be pretty easy rehab. Nonetheless, the doctor was drunk at the ER.
Wow.
Put a cast on. The bones grew in the wrong place very quickly. After 2 weeks, I actually had almost like a blockage.
It didn't set properly, I guess?
It didn't set properly. But the more important even part was that there was almost a cyst creating. So there was no blood flow going through. And you could see through that cast, Joe. And here I am, 8 years old.
Oh, this happened at 8?
8 years old.
Oh,
and I was sitting, I remember like it happened literally yesterday, on the couch. And my hand started to be swollen, like fingers bigger than my father. And I was showing this to my dad, and I was saying, you know, I remember this literally so vividly. Daddy, it hurts. It itches.
Oh, wow.
I can't move my fingers. And automatically, luckily we lived across the street from hospital. My dad took me there, and it's after already the cast was on for 2 weeks, and I was supposed to hold it for 3 weeks, and then the rehab should start it. So we went to ER, the doctor looked at it, he was like, who did this?
Wow.
It grew in the wrong place, there was a cyst, blood flow wasn't going properly through. He goes like, you could lose your daughter if you waited another 12 hours.
Wow.
So it was pretty dramatic, just the event in itself, how the injury happened. I literally remember how I failed in the training. That emotional scar stayed with me, Joe, for a very long time. Like literally until I came to US and I started to do more manual therapies and understood how hands-on therapies can actually take you out of your emotional imbalances.
Wow.
Your emotional pain that actually affects your posture, actually affects your movement, not only your psychological stability. That took many years. So think 22 years at least.
Wow.
Before I figure it out on my own, what really was happening. It was really traumatic. So as a young gymnast, that was done for me. That hand never got back to the same. I still cannot pronate my elbow.
Wow.
Like my forearm is just not functioning. So later on in life, I realized how I was compensating with my shoulder, how I actually got knee injury. How actually that affected my, you know, herniated disc, C6. And all of a sudden, you know, doctors are saying, don't do this, don't do that. And I'm like, I'm a former athlete. then I became, you know, basketball player. I played semi-pro up to my grad school.
Talk about that then. So you have a messed up elbow. You don't have like full range of motion, and then you get into basketball?
Yes. So, you know, here I am, you know, little powerhouse gymnast that was told that she cannot do anything. My parents decided to put me to a musical school.
Okay.
I mean, you just killed my passion right there. Just going from being a gymnast, they are like, well, you will go on a violin. I'm like, what? Yeah. I hated it. Every piece of it. The instrument, the sound that was coming out of it. My dog was running away from me when he heard it. I mean, it was just a show, a circus in the house. My dad is like, she hates it.
Yeah.
We cannot hear the sound. Like, it was just a massive mess.
Sure.
Oh, I gave myself a few months. I'm like, no. So I asked my dad, I'm like, buy me a basketball ball. Okay. And you know, here we are, still in communism. Nothing was accessible so easily.
Right.
You know, you had to work so much as a parent to get your child at basketball. I appreciate my parents' hard work so much, Joe. It's beyond unbelievable.
Hmm.
So when I got that basketball for Christmas, we'll never forget that. It was like my best friend, like ever since. So maybe at that stage, I'm nine. And I'm starting to dribble and figuring out how to do it. And I probably take 10 steps before I shot my first, you know, shot.
Just traveling with it.
Just being, you know what, just going around
it's
and being happy.
10. Yeah,
oh,
absolutely.
Listen, loved it.
Mm-hmm.
We started to have little camps at grammar school. And that's when I started to, you know what, dribbling better, starting to have really better coordination. With my right hand, I really avoided the left. I mean, here is how. You can't pronate the arm.
Yeah,
how are you going to dribble properly?
That's right.
It's almost impossible. So I started to, you know what, wave with my shoulder.
Compensated with the shoulder.
Absolutely.
Makes sense. Yeah.
But without even realizing that I was doing it, right? As a young kid, you're not paying attention to it. You're just doing what your body is kind of adapting to.
Well, they always say that athletes are the best compensators because, you know, normally they're athletic, the body can move in different, you know, they're a little more powerful.
Absolutely.
And so you can push yourself through in ways that maybe you probably shouldn't push, right?
But you just don't know any better, and not even that you don't know. You're not aware. Your awareness is on not that level, but your body is intelligent enough to connect the dots and say, hey, this is not moving, but this can't move. So let's utilize that. And later on in life, you know that you have injuries additional.
Right.
That it's not like anyone expected. And in that stage, again, we're speaking like 89, literally. That's back in the day.
That was a good year.
Oh, it was amazing here. So many political, you know, things happen.
Sure.
I mean, this is when I feel like I started to play and have fun with basketball as a child. So whenever my homework was done, I would be outside shooting, shooting, playing. Like, you couldn't take away that ball away from me. And that literally took me to high school. I was an excellent student. That came always first. But the moment my, you know, homework was done, I would be outside, always playing with the boys. Always.
Tumble.
I mean, they know it, right? They push, I push back, they step on me, we push each other. I learned the toughness.
That's good.
Oh, it was incredible. I would always be, it's me and like my friend. She ended up actually playing in a national team for Czech Republic.
Oh, wow.
And yeah, it was the two of us. I never got that far. But it was the two of us playing with the boys. And I loved it because it really made us tough. It showed you the dedication. We were watching them, the move, what they were creating. Some were, you know, putting a trampoline and jumping from it to dunk it.
Wow.
I mean, it was crazy stuff. So, you know, that got me to college. And I didn't go to college to play basketball, but I ended up playing basketball. And I, you know, have great grades, so I had my scholarship. Sport and educational scholarship. So it was great. I got so far because of one sport didn't work and the passion turned into a team sport from being individual. But that passion, dedication to your craft really allowed me to be the CEO that I am today.
Dude, I mean, you know, it makes a so I always love hearing about people's backstory because normally there's these patterns in life.
Yes.
And, you know, and so whereas you kind of go through this one level of phase, you have some And whether it's emotional or whether it's physical or whether it's in business or school, there's some trauma that happens.
Oh.
And there's some necessary trauma too, I always
say.
Absolutely. I think there's a good, healthy level of breaking down whatever you thought was right. But you don't want to get injured to where you can't recover. I know how that feels to have an injury. It took me I could have easily bounced back from my injury within 4 months. I was out for 2 years mentally. Mentally, because I just couldn't overcome what happened and what I was working towards, and then that disappointment behind it, right? And so, but, you know, having that history, now applying it to what you're up to help other people is phenomenal. Now, talk about that emotional transfer that happens during, like, injuries a little bit.
I think it's because the most important part that not just athletes, but people on a daily basis. So yesterday at the expo, I had a chance to meet some people that were injured.
Yeah.
And not that, you know, injured people were the majority at the expo. They were the minority. Yeah. And it just happened to look at someone who had fused spine from C2 to C7. And I really took my time because I know how emotionally it impacts that person, his wife that was standing next to him, and how now what's happening, if it's not going to be addressed, it's going to impact him for the rest of his life. So I literally pulled him on his side and I said, listen, I don't know you personally. I really do not know the entire story, why you are where you are, why you had your spine fused. Mm-hmm. But here's what I would like to invite you to do. His entire posture was caved in. Mm-hmm. So it tells me automatically the thoracic spine, the diaphragm is just collapsed. Wow. Emotions, Joe. This is where we live in. This is where your heart is. This is the protective part of our body.
Interesting.
And it's not just that after surgery this happens. We sit like that all day long, typing, being on the phone. We collapse our thoracic spine, our chest that the guys work on so strong every day in the gym.
Built like a turtle.
Chest.
Yeah, chest there.
But we don't realize how we keep and almost store, like in a cage, emotions. And it's lacking that opening. It's lacking that balance. It's lacking that diaphragm to actually function correctly, the digestion to take place. We talk about people having so many diseases, so many gut issues, and gut is connected to the mind. Lack of proper digestion affects the clarity of a mind. Clarity of a mind affects your performance, regardless if you are an athlete or not. I mean, we all perform every day. So I took this man and I literally gave him tools and ideas how to even sit when he eats, because he said, he was like, oh my God, Barbara, it happens with digestion. And, you know, doctors gave me additional, of course, drugs to digest. I'm like, no. It happens with your posture. It starts with your posture.
That's a reflux type of.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's so commonly passed
out. So I literally took and showed him on a chair how to put one of those soft, you know, like a myofascia balls. So this man could absolutely, like, instead of going cave in, to just support while he's eating and drinking, so digestion could take place. His wife is starting to cry. She goes, oh, my.
Wow.
That's so simple. We all have tears in our eyes. Different expo, right? Supplements. Here I am, CEO.
Yeah.
Instead of speaking about, you know, the proprietary ingredients in my product, I just took my time because I know how he felt.
Mm-hmm.
I've been there. I felt it. That injury, emotional pain in that elbow, holded me emotionally to grow as a coach, as a wife, as a person in this universe. And let's just go into exactly how that happens.
Yeah.
So here you have disappointment. I can't do what I love doing.
Mm-hmm.
That's transferred directly to my feelings. That's hard. That's collapsing. That penetrated into my entire visceral system. Joe, I didn't feel that until I started to go, and I'm just blessed to have powerful people in the field of movement and especially hands-on therapy. In Poland, I was never introduced to that. I don't think even in United States, people still are introduced. It's starting to be a better pattern.
Yeah.
But the power was, here I am in a therapy place in Delray Beach. A dear colleague of mine, Ray Crowley, we started to really work together because he has a hyperbaric chambers. Mm-hmm. And I started to send the top professional athletes and NFL players I've worked with. And I knew that they need to get more oxygen for a better recovery. Not those sleepy bags that, you know, cost $25,000, cost athletes so much money. If you're listening and you bought one of them, fool. You're a fool. And I'm sorry, sell it, get your money back, because it doesn't work. Like a freaking placebo effect.
So true.
Man, seriously.
You know what? There's so much garbage out there.
Absolutely. It just makes me angry.
No, it's good. No, it's 100% right. Because it's one of those things where there's so much garbage in the market, and then people say, oh, it doesn't work. You know?
No, the real one works. You have to bring the pressure so much higher that the sleeping bag can go in. So even, you know, a few athletes that I work with, like perfect example was, you know, Ray Lewis. He got one of those. And when we started to work, I'm like, what is this?
Yeah.
And he goes, well, isn't that what I'm supposed to use? I'm like, no. And it was, he's supposed to just make that, you know, purchase. I'm like, no, don't let it happen. Save your $25,000. Mm-hmm. And if you want to do the right thing, go and dive into the real medical one, because that is the power.
Yep.
There's a huge miscommunication, and there are, you know, of course, companies trying to make the money and, you know, sell to those pro athletes.
Yep.
And unfortunately, those do not make the right research.
Mm-hmm.
They don't do it. They are not associated with the right people. They, of course, push them to just make that sale so they get their compensation for that.
Yep.
It's like partially, you know, you're looking at it and I'm like, you know what? It was your choice. You brought that person into your camp, into your support box. That's your awareness. That's your choice. That's your decision. You kind of have to put people in the, you've made it. Nobody forced you. It was your personal, professional decision. I hope you've learned on your mistake.
Why do you think there's so many leaders in the health industry that seem like they choose not to spend time doing the homework to figure out what's best for their patients?
You know, there are so many external factors going to the answer, because there are some phenomenal athletes that got where they are because of having access to, fortunately, the right people.
100%. Yeah, 100%.
Okay? At the get-go, right away, they were blessed to have those people around them. Mm-hmm. And there is, you know, the other spectrum of athletes that somehow with their personality and their, you know, glow.
The glow.
They invite the wrong people. It's like their showman is really a wrong invitation to the wrong
groups
of people coming to them. And then they don't take the time. Because if you have that lack of awareness right away that with your personality, you do that,
mm-hmm.
you're not aware of doing it. Somebody needs to come to your life and shake you almost, take you to a corner and say, hey, have you realized ABC took place? It's like asking the right questions.
Right.
And top athletes are not taking the time to ask those right questions. Hmm. And then they trust those people that they were there since they were little.
Right.
But I grew up with him, man.
Mm-hmm.
He's been there all the time. That's great. Let him be that cheerleader.
Yeah.
On the sidelines.
Right.
Okay? That's great. That's where his place is. Is he the medical professional? No. Is he, do you know what, in a research department for the last 20 years?
No.
Has he worked with professional athletes and helped him anyway? No. He's your buddy. You gotta have those people in your life. That's great. Have them to cheer you on. But don't make them the decision makers. That's how players go broke.
Yep.
That's how players go injured. That's how exactly things happen that I wish, and they're not hard to prevent. Clarity on the mind, Joe, again.
Yeah.
Literally clarity on the mind.
How do you help your athletes and your clients that have to make those tough choices about relationships in their life, right? Because honestly, you know, there's the X's and O's of, okay, I do this so I can rehab, and that's great. That's a piece of it. But then you also have the external factors with relationships and, you know, the whole business aspect of things, right? How do you help them get that clarity of mind and say, you know what, you got to make these tough choices? And I mean, because I think that's something that a lot of people don't have a lot of people in their corner really helping them you know, push forward on those things.
Sure. And you know what? It's I was blessed because as a former athlete going through traumatic injuries. And you know, at some point we'll get into how I really kind of healed myself out of it and how the manual therapies got me out of the pain, how much tears I lost, but how much joy they brought. I educated myself on fascia, right? Because I realized how the fascia holds the emotions in. We have different layers of that connective tissue penetrating through our body underneath the skin. And I have a chance to work with athletes, having them on a table, almost vulnerably laying down. Mm-hmm. And that's when my passion as a coach comes in, to ask the right questions as I work on the body.
That's really interesting way to go about it. Yeah, yeah.
And, you know,
I mean, so you're kind of hitting like two angles at once there, right?
Correct.
In actual physical, while they're in pain, releasing the pain, and then having conversations, is that right?
And sometimes it's not actually even, you know, I have so many of them, and one of my favorite is really, and I'm not going to drop some names, but he's still in the league, and I could see he's lost. Lost.
Yeah.
Too many women around.
Yeah, yeah. So easy to do that, I could imagine. You got people running up on you all the time.
Exactly. But it's like he was in a, do you know what, in a... safety position, but I could see him, you know, in a corner position. And I said, you know, there was so much growth. I could see it. But I knew he almost didn't believe in himself enough. You see that everywhere.
Yeah.
Everywhere. And you can see that in the eyes.
You can.
You can sense it, man, so clearly. And that's how I love to connect with them. And it's always, you know, here I am, female in NFL, you know what, and I'm blessed to be able to work with players across the entire league, but I happen to work with, you know, the Baltimore Ravens for so many years, and I connected with many players that don't play for that team anymore. But I would always start with a hug. And of course, you know what? Here is the area. Female is hugging the males. What's happening? No. What is the intention of the hug?
Yeah.
What is the purpose of the hug?
Yeah.
Making them feel, I'm here for you. Hey, let's take a few deep inhales, exhales as we are hugging, so we connect on a deep level. Come and see me. Let's work on things that nobody's willing to work with you, or they expect from you to be there. Then they go home. The female expect, well, where have you been? You haven't, you know, you don't know what's going on with the kids. Here's what we have to, you know what, do. And here's what still hasn't been done. And it's the personal and professional space they need. But the 100% I try to coach the players, they need to be available on the field and outside of the field. There's no 50-50. Have you ever seen 50-50 relationship working?
It doesn't work. It's 100%, right?
Have you seen business working 50-50? Well, what is she going to do for me? I'm like, what are you going to do for yourself? If you don't want to work on a relationship, when you don't want to work on your craft, it's not what the defense does because the offense doesn't work. This is my challenge always in any team sports. Offense, defense. Well, they suck. It's on them. No. Be the man. If you do 100%, there is the chance that you're going to win that game. Don't look what's not being done. Look what you can do, how you can contribute, and what you can see that it's not there, but it should be present. The same as in relationship, that's why sometimes I take the players and I just ask them questions that they are not ready for. Like, why are you asking me this? I'm like, how about you don't answer question with question, but actually answer the question?
It's a smooth way to try to get the question, right?
Yeah. They're like, well, I didn't expect that, but nobody ever asked me that. And I said, that's right. Nobody asked you, but the question is why they didn't ask.
Yeah.
What isn't that is stopping you from getting from A place to B? I haven't thought about that. Who do you need in your box that you don't have?
Yeah.
Who do you talk on a daily basis that keeps you motivated, keeps you straight, keeps your thought aligned?
Right.
What do you do from the morning you wake up to keep your body structurally balanced? I would be waiting for some players at 6:30 in the morning on the, you know what, turf. And if they're not, I'm going to the locker room. And they're like, hey, B is here waiting for you. Oh, no. Tell her I'm not here. I'm like, I heard that. Saul. I'm like, come out. I'm like, I'm not going anywhere. You got my ass out. I'm like, yours should be coming out. Let's go.
100%, yeah.
There are some.
That's good, though. I mean, dude, you know, you would think that they would have more people like that around them.
Exactly.
You would think that.
Yeah.
But it's not the case.
No, it's not.
It's bananas.
And it's sad in a way, Joe. It's really sad because I talk about some of the players that are retired right now. What we wish was there, that it's not there. But I don't blame the league for it. There's nobody to blame. Keep yourself accountable. Keep yourself in check. It's your craft. It's your job. But it's your passion. I'm passionate about coaching. I'm passionate about, you know, business right now. My new platform where healthy movement, communication, and nutrition meets.
Yeah.
You can't talk about one thing. You can't be an excellent athlete just because you have fundamental and extraordinary biomechanical skills. That will get you just so far.
100%.
What's next?
Yeah.
Where are you going to, you know, get the proper nutrition? Where are you going to, who is going to be the one that is going to guide you prior, during, and post-workouts? The nutrition is so different. The things that you need are so different. I don't expect you to know it. You didn't go to school for that. You are not passionate about that. But if your body is what gets you on the field and gets you make money and makes you be called professional athlete, take your time.
To learn it,
or get people surrounding by you that know better than you. I have a huge respect for some, you know, top of the top. Let's take Tom Brady.
Yeah.
He probably spends a lot of money, maybe 1/10 of his, you know what, paycheck that he spends for the coaching, that he spends for taking care of the body. There's no other way to do it if you want to be in the league for not just 3-5 years.
Yeah.
But 10 up. Those are the ones that spend money for physical therapists.
Yep.
They have their coaches. Listen, I was traveling with Ray Lewis before he got out. I wish, and we spoke about that, he wished he knew earlier. There are so many young athletes right now, they need to know better. They need to get in the beginning of the stage of their profession so they can prevent those injuries. Because unfortunately, let me tell you, the hard part is they are injured in the college. It doesn't happen in the NFL. The collegiate coaches need to get a better education. They need to start paying attention. They need to get a better funds. They need to teach the athletes how to train properly. Get seriously, get yourself more aligned as a strength coach. No more modalities. If you don't know, send your athletes to the right people so they get the help. The challenge is also, Joe, I can't put it just on the strength coaches, unfortunately. It's the timing. Those athletes are like professional athletes. They're constantly on the go. They need to study. They need to train. They need to rehab. They need to do so many things. By the time they get to professional leagues, they don't even know what's off. It's just a matter of one good training, one camp. Like when I took the rookies 1 year, I couldn't believe it. This is a good one. I took the rookies.
Line it up. Let's talk about it.
My job was to put them through a core training, my favorite thing. And the core I teach them doesn't start in your abs. The core starts from the ground up. The proper structural balance in your feet has an effect how you engage your quads. If you don't engage your quads correctly, your hamstrings are going to be affected. If your hamstrings are overloaded, you will get strain. You will get the pulls. Your lower back will go out. That is going to affect your rotation. That is going to affect your speed. That is going to affect your power and so forth. And we can go on and on and on. So I did a, you know, training for those youngsters. And they're like, you know, the words that were coming out of them were just funny, and we were laughing because, shit, she's killing me. What are you doing? I'm done. I can't do it. I'm like, I showed timeout. I said, seriously?
Yeah.
I'm like, are you going to about this right now. Yeah. I'm like, if you cannot go through my core workout, you have no chance to sustain in NFL. Wow. Like, zero. I'm like, and I had like maybe 25 of them. I'm like, if two of you will survive this camp, I'm like, congratulations to you. And there is the silence. Like, you can hear that fly. And I'm like, yeah, got the message. Let's go. Mm-hmm. I'm like, don't fight for excuses. Don't make me look at you like you're weak.
Don't fight for excuses. Man, you hear a lot of people being stuck on that though, right?
Why? People are looking for excuses. Oh, I didn't do it because I don't care why you didn't do it. Mm-hmm. Give yourself a reason to do it. Mm-hmm. Why do you want to be in NFL? Why do you want to be called professional athletes? Mm-hmm. That fame comes with responsibilities. Mm-hmm. That fame comes with additional load of actually skills that you didn't gain when you were getting to NFL. That is another level. Like, the players, you know, think, oh, they got drafted. Do you know how many players got drafted?
And yeah, listen, yeah. Every year.
Exactly. Yeah, even the plus. Number one picks yep. are failing. Mm-hmm. Too much fame is getting to them too quickly. Again, wrong people around them, nobody to keep them structural balance. Mm-hmm. And listen, it comes to movement, it comes to nutrition, it comes to decision making, it comes to communication, Joe, with yourself first.
Yeah.
How much do you trust yourself?
Wow, that's a good point.
That you can do it. How much you can admit you don't know? How much are you going to fight with that ego that will not allow you ever to go to the next level? Do you know how much I see that in NFL? It's painful. Painful. Hmm. And do you know how well I am connected to the few that allows the woman to get in deeper, mm-hmm. to penetrate, mm-hmm. and actually will lay down and say, hey, B, it's cool. I appreciate that. I really appreciate that. Can we talk about this, you know what, more? Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. I appreciate when a man can, anyone, let's just not make it gender specific. Sure. But because I work 99% with men,
yeah.
we will be speaking about them. I love the fact that men can admit, I don't know. Tell me more about it. I want to know.
Ego's a trip, man. I mean, especially whenever you get to that level, being an elite athlete and having just everything that comes with that, not just the salary, not just the exposure, and, you know, everybody's trying to elevate you all the time, right, to be something sometimes more than what you really are, right?
Correct.
I mean, so being able to break down the egos is one of the biggest things I see in any aspects of growth, especially, you know, it's funny because being in the gym and you have this, you know, remarkable fitness and just understanding of the body and fashion, everything else, understanding, right? It correlates to everything else in life.
Tremendously.
Doesn't it? I mean,
tremendously.
It correlates to business. It correlates to, I mean, not just health, obviously, but your relationships and everything else. Like, you put ego in any of those situations and the same stuff happens.
You know, perfect example. It had to happen finally when that player was injured and draft pick number one, injured of an injury, injury of an injury. And finally, I walked to him and I said, when will you allow yourself to being out of the injuries?
Wow. Wow. He was stuck being injured. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's easy to do that too.
And it's like,
easy to do that.
Because mommy was too much in his life. Mm. Mommy was doing things for him. Mm. Mommy was constantly, you know, cooking and doing things. And mommy was there to fix things.
Yeah.
It was the syndrome of a little boy. Mm. But you are in NFL. Mm-hmm. Are you a little boy or are you a man?
Right.
If you can handle that cash, if you can take it and sign that contract, step up, boy.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm so straight about that. Like, let's get you straight. Mm-hmm. You can sign the contract.
You can man
up. Put the big pennies on. Seriously. No more shorties.
Put no the more boy
big,
shorts, huh?
Yeah. And I'm really so direct about that, you can tell.
Yeah.
And they laugh about that, but I really take them on the side and I said, listen, that comes with changes.
Yeah.
That comes with new adaptations. That comes with habits. Mm-hmm. Habits get us sometimes into trouble. And again, It's the maturity, emotional maturity, that it's not being addressed in those professional leagues. And I wish, you know, we pay so much to, you know, strength coaches, head coaches. Head coaches more than strength coaches, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. I almost wish that the strength coaches were educated more about that, almost like had a course. Clarity, emotion, habits, relationships, communication, different stages that were addressed, how to address challenges. Joe, now we're speaking of positions.
Right.
I mean, look at NFL, how many positions we have. Quarterback, decision maker. How do you communicate with that player? I was blessed this offseason to work with two different quarterbacks, right? Mm-hmm. One injured, one not injured. And it was all about first movement, shifting weight, shifting, trusting your body, trusting your biomechanics before you make that decision. It's so important. We just expect the players to show up, be ready, let's go. You should be able to make that. That's not the case.
Right.
They didn't go through the stages. They are phenomenally gifted. Mm-hmm. But at some point, there is the hit into the knee. There is the hit into the back. That's trauma, mm-hmm. not just physiological or physical. That's emotional as well. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And God forbid that player is injured. Now he doubts himself. Now he relies on the people that are hired by the team to fix him.
Right.
What if the people don't know any better? And I've seen it, they don't. He relies on them. What happens? Injury just goes from one season to another.
Yep.
His livelihood, his passion, his everything he worked for all his life is gone. Mm-hmm.
You know what's crazy about that is that it's such a true and commonplace that a lot of players go through. But man, I see everyday people dealing with this too.
Oh.
You know, and that's where, and I'm ready to make that transition now and talk more about what you're up to with your business too, because.
Yeah, but it's just, you know, it's like the NFL in itself, like it's the, just players. Yeah. I mean, as a former athlete, never who got to that level,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
I just love that energy. I love the passion they bring. And then I just want to spank them when the ego is on its way, and I'm like, dude, you don't even know how good you can be.
Yeah.
You don't even see it. I'm like, let me show you.
Yeah.
And you know, sometimes I love the fact that I stick to the ones that don't believe, that I stick to the ones that they don't know any better,
mm-hmm.
and the ones that are, I'm cool, B, I will do it, it will come. No, BS, it will not come.
Yeah, it's not
it will not come.
Yeah.
If you are not going to do it, it's not going to come. And sometimes I have, you know, the joy. Unfortunately, it's the funny part that when they get the awesome contract, I don't get any percentage of that.
you gotta start structuring these deals a little bit different, right? Get yourself a nice 5 to 10%.
Literally. Yeah. You know, my favorite one recently was Ryan Jensen. And if you will be listening to him, he will be laughing. He got such a good contract, right?
Yeah.
And it was one of the perfect examples of me getting his ass on the field and doing drills.
Mm-hmm.
Different drills, because I could see when he was a rookie, he even told me, he was like, listen, you didn't even want to deal with me. I'm like, you were not ready.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't want to put the time to do what it would take to be on another level.
Mm-hmm.
But as the time went on and he was in the third, fourth year, now you have a year where decision is making, you're out of your rookie contract. Now you have to pay attention. Now you have to show up really, because teams are watching,
yeah.
and either one team will keep you or another will grab you. And I didn't want to quit on him. That was the time when I said, listen, I'm on you. I would literally grab him. I would connect him to registered dietitian, because I knew that he needs to pay attention to his weight. I would pay attention to his structural balance, not just on a table. I would force him to do drills on the field. He hated. How many B words I've heard? You B, you this. I'm like, bring it on. I'm like, melody to my ear. I'm like, I don't care, because I know what I can get out of you.
Mm-hmm.
By the end of the season, you will thank me.
Mm-hmm.
And he did. And I'm so happy for him. For
tough love.
Oh, phew, listen. And here we are with the millennial softness.
But dude, this is why I think your business is going to be dope. I mean, I'll be honest with you. It's not only a great product, but it's that type of mentorship and coaching that is needed to be a proper CEO. 100%. People like to go through, and don't get me wrong, I think you do have to make quick choices and turn and burn people whenever they're not, you know, once they're not doing the actual part. But a lot of times people just need to be pushed in the right direction, and they need tough love, but it needs to not be this business only approach.
Yeah, and you know what? Let's face it that, you know, you were probably raised different way than I was.
Sure.
Tough love can be very ambiguous,
yeah.
It doesn't have to come with a physicality. It doesn't have to come with a punishment. Tough love could be very encouraging.
Yeah.
It really can be. That's the beauty. If you utilize the right words, if you use the proper guidance, it's more invitational. It's encouraging.
Mm-hmm.
It's pushing them forward instead of holding them back. That's what I like to use. Even, you know, I have a phenomenal assistant. She fish Columbia University.
Yeah, it's a great school.
I mean, she's my assistant.
Oh, yeah.
I'm so blessed. But she is that young female who believes. She believes in me, and she believes in my vision of what I'm trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I